Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the New Mainstream Podcast, where we explore the impact of multicultural consumers on marketing and media. I'm your host, Mario Carrasco, and co-founder of Think Now. Excited to have our guest back today, Maria Tuena, Global Head of Consumer X at Ninth Wonder and author of School Crossing, the first book in the Mari V Master Navigator series. Maria, you were recently on the show, but please introduce yourselves for people that missed that episode. Tell us a little bit about your work at Ninth Wonder and your new book.
Thanks, Mario. Nice to be back here again. At Ninth Wonder, I run a discipline that focuses on targeting consumers that hide in plain sight, yet drive exponential revenue and advocacy for a brand. And it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of interesting consumer cohorts that fit this category where advertisers think they're actually reaching them with their media and they're really not. So how that dovetails into School Crossing and Mighty B Master Navigator is that she herself is one of these cohorts. She's a bilingual, bicultural Latina. It's a childhood character. The reason I came up with this 15 years ago, so it's actually her quinceañera, is because I didn't have this role model or character as a child. And I actually never saw myself in the literature as a child. And it was very important for me, as we see the explosion of the Latino population and the youth of the Latino population, that they feel like they belong in our society. And seeing themselves in books is one of those ways to feel like you belong and validated. And so she's created to be the Sherpa, if you will, for those children. We play the role of Sherpa, as we've talked about in the past, for our parents, constantly translating and interpreting and informing and demystifying everything that has to do with the American way of life. And this is an opportunity that these kids who are playing this role have someone that they can emulate as well, and that they can see authentically depicts them as they're maturing from grade school years through early high school.
I love this idea because we've talked about the Sherpa, and I want to give you a chance to talk about it again because it's a concept, a hypothesis you had. We've validated it from a research perspective multiple times, but I think it's great that you're a Sherpa for the Sherpas, right?
Which is I train the trainer. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those who might have not listened to that episode about the concept of a Sherpa, can you talk about a little bit about that, our research, and then, what tools you're providing for the Sherpa kids now in this book to navigate that task?
Yeah, sure. So let's talk about the Sherpa a second. So, and as you've mentioned, this has been validated for many years ago when we talked about it and continues to be validated. So one of the key aspects of children of immigrants, whether they're born here or they came here at an early age, is that they take the role of Sherpa or guide for their foreign-born parents who don't master the language or the culture. And so what we've seen over time is that as these children are growing up, they interpret the U.S. ethos. That's the first thing they do. And what we mean by that is they interpret the U.S., the morals, the value set that we have here in the U.S., which is all about independence and self-reliance versus what the Latino ethos is, which is all about collectivism and interdependence. So one of the things they do is interpret that for the family, which means demystifying the behaviors that the family see in the American culture and how they're distinct from what they're seeing in their Latino culture, what they grew up with. And it's a very important role. And that's the first role, just interpreting this ethos for their families. They also translate the language. Many immigrants don't master the English language for many years. And so the kids play that role of translator. We've all been in the doctor's office where the child is interpreting for the parents, and that's translating for the parent. That's another role that these children play. They also inform brand and product purchases. They they read the labels, they demystify information for the parents, they search for the parents, they find content for the parents, they inform decisions at a very early age, and they demystify new technologies or new services as well. So they're constantly playing the role. They're children, but in many points of their life experience, they have to play the role of the adult. So this influencer Sherpa behavior we've seen over time, it doesn't stop when they turn 18 or turn 21. As they mature, their sphere of influence actually grows and it becomes culturally agnostic, meaning it's not just Latino, it's also American, because they have friends that are American as well as Latino. They live in two worlds. They're hybrids. They live that duality that few really understand. And so in the book School Crossing, it's called School Crossing because that's the first experience for many children where they run into these clashes of cultures where they're like, oh my goodness, not only do I not look like my fellow students here, we don't act like them at home. We're very different from them. And they little things happen along the book that happen to a lot of Latino kids, and little things from their name gets changed. The name becomes American. The teacher calls the kids by an American name, even though the child has, you know, a long Latino name. And so that's the first thing she experiences at school. And it's such an important experience because when a society changes someone's name, the underlying psychological message is you're not good enough as you are. You need to be different. And so this journey starts with her having her name changed at school and then living through many experiences in first grade, such as the teacher saying, I want everyone to draw a self-portrait. And she realizes that she's the only one who has drawn a portrait of her family, not just of herself, because she doesn't see herself separate from her family because she's part of a collective culture. So there's a lot of educating and demystifying what it's like to be bilingual, bicultural, not just for the bilingual, bicultural kids so they see themselves, but for other kids that aren't bilingual, bicultural so they can have a better understanding and empathy for what it's like to grow up in this manner.
That's so true. And I shared that video of my daughter reading the book, and a part that particularly resonated with me is the portrait part, because that same exact thing happened with my daughter. They asked her to draw a picture of her family. And so a little bit different, right? Not a self-portrait of a family. But when we got the picture, or when I looked at it before she turned it in, she had drawn us, you know, me, my wife, her little brother, grandma, grandpa, and she calls her Achi, my mother-in-law. So it was really cool to see her idea of family outside of our nuclear family, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's similar too. You know, that's my daughter's Asian and Latino, both. That the concept of family is expanded outside of just your immediate family, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And it is the same concept, just taken slightly differently or expressed differently, like you mentioned. Of course, family for us is much more extended outside of a nuclear environment, right? And, even what I've thought about this a lot, you know, even what we call first cousins, like in the U.S. we'll call them first cousins, but in Spanish we'll call them cousin brothers, primo hermanos. It brings it even tighter in the circle, right? So yes, our understanding of a family is slightly different.
For sure. Yeah. And I think we all have aunts and uncles that we have no idea how they're actually related to us, right?
Right. Absolutely right. Yeah. So, you know, I wanted children to authentically experience this life experience of being bilingual, bicultural. And I wanted these bilingual, bicultural kids to say, that is me, like what happened with your daughters, because it's such an authentic depiction. You know, none of this is totally autobiographical, but at the same time, it's authentic. It comes from a place of a lot of this was my life experience or experience that was shared with family members or friends. And so it's an authentic depiction of what it's like to grow up, because what it's like to grow up in a Latino household is very different than an American household. I share this story with folks a lot. When I was in first grade and my sister was in third grade, she came home from school and she said, I'm so excited. I'm going to go to Sharon's house this weekend. And I said, what's going on at Sharon's house? And mind you, I'm in first grade. And she says, they're having a garage sale. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said, how do they just sell the garage? Because for the concept for a Latino to have a garage sale is so far out there, because we always have family members or friends to give our stuff to.
Yeah.
We always do. There's always a new immigrant. There's always a new family member. There's always a new someone, or, you know, someone who's related to someone, fulanito. You know, there's always someone that
you're
needs.
Always passing things down.
You're always passing things down. You're not selling them. And it's just one of the differences in the ethos. You know, a collective culture does that. A self-reliant culture is much more independent. So selling their goods makes a lot more sense.
You know, and I think another thing that's interesting for the book, as both of us, marketers, strategists, researchers, I think it gives really good insights into consumers now. Like for me personally, right, experiencing, well, my name got butchered in terms of pronunciation and last name, but gives you an interesting peek into the psyche of current consumers, millennials, even Gen Z, right? I think it's a great book for marketers looking to reach bilingual, bicultural, multicultural consumers to give them a peek into their childhood, right? And having that understanding, I think, helps connect from a marketing perspective as well, because it's just such a different experience.
Yeah, I think so too. I think this is where my passion for storytelling and my passion for marketing really intersect, which is what I find so great about this for me personally, is that this is a way of demystifying that consumer from childhood in an educational way that isn't scary. It's very educational and insightful, and it's fun. You know, there are a lot of truths that are shared, and it will help marketers understand, oh, so this is what this cohort is like. This is what informs their psyche and their behaviors. I need to spend a little more time thinking about how to market them in a way that doesn't just reach them, but touches them emotionally. And there are a lot of those answers are in these stories.
For sure. And so you mentioned that this is a series. This is the first one. School Crossing is the first in the Master Navigator series. What's the plan for your next one?
Like the goal is to have a series that follows Marivi from first grade through eighth grade. So because so many key childhood events happened in those years, right? And so I've got a lot more that have been written. They're not in final edit form just yet, but it's about the different life experiences as you mature and how they're interpreted in a Latino family versus an American family. And so, you know, one of the things I didn't mention, Mario, which I think is important to mention, you know, the primary character is called Marivi because I wanted it to be a hybrid of two names, right? Maria for the Marianism and the Maria name, you know, in the Latino culture. Mm-hmm. And the V stands for Victoria or Victoria. And so the Victoria part to me is much more self-reliant because she's victorious, right? Ultimately, she's victorious in amalgamating both of these cultures, right? So that's why her name is Marivi. That's her nickname. And then calling her the Master Navigator was very purposeful. I really toiled on the name of the series for a while. But I thought ultimately they are Sherpas. They are influencers. She's navigating in a masterful way two languages and two cultures. And we think it's easy, and it's really not. And I think all of us that are hybrids and live this duality struggle with the responsibility, the burden, you know, like everything in life, there's a good and there's bad, right? So she becomes the master in navigating both of these cultures and both of these worlds, and that's why the series is named Master Navigator.
That's great. And for everyone listening, it's a great book, highly recommend, not only to those that are raising bilingual, bicultural children, but also to people that want to understand what that experience is like, marketers, parents, and just people that want to get an understanding of a different perspective, right? For people that want to find out more about the book, Maria, do you have a website, Amazon?
Oh, thanks, Mario. Yes, it's sold on Amazon, and I actually do have a website called wearemarivi.com, and you can buy from the website as well. It'll just click you to Amazon, but there's a buy button toward the bottom. And the other thing I would mention is that on the website, there's a section for parents and teachers, which is basically, you know, discussion points on the book. You know, why do these things happen to Marivi? Why does her mom care that her clothes and her hair are perfect for school? And it's because, you know, the culture is all about appearances, the collective culture, because your value comes from what others think of you. So that's another big distinction between collectivist cultures and self-reliant cultures. So there's just a little guidebook with questions on, this is how you could prompt discussion with your students or your kids on the character and what happens in her life.
That's great. As always, thanks for being on the show, Maria. Thank you for giving more insights to the book. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thanks, Maria. Really appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone listening in. To get more multicultural insights, check us out at thinknow.com and follow us on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform. Final thank you to our producer, Lucas Martinez, who created our intro music and makes our podcast sound great. To email him, reach out to martinez.lucas.a@gmail.com.